Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Extra Point Show. We're just about to get fired up down at One Bills Drive, voluntary workouts. We're going to hear from Bean, and here is Bean. McDermott and Allen to come. Here's the Bills GM.
For his 4 years here was a number one role, so we have not filled a number one role. I would say we have a group of guys, as we sit here today, that we believe bring different skill sets. We like the group. You know, would we like to add to it at some point? Yes. I'm not sitting here thinking we have a glaring hole. But I get the question. I get the perception. You know, sometimes you have young guys on your roster that you believe in as well that can ascend. But they have to prove it, too. You know, just like last year we were getting the question about linebacker. Terrell Bernard had to prove it, you know, even Tyrell Dodson in his form when he played for us. Had to go prove it because he'd mainly been, you know, a backup, you know, prior to that.
Hey, Brandon, what's sort of the range right now for
round
grades on your guys'
board? Yeah, I mean, more than last year, but not 28.
And follow up on that,
you
traded up the several times in the first round. You're at 28. When
good question. You know, I'll take any call, Ryan. you know me. Next week, you know, the phones start ringing all over the place. You know, teams that want to bail out of, you know, I don't know if teams in the top 10 are calling us. I wouldn't expect that. But teams in the teens will start calling because maybe they got their eye on a couple guys, and if they don't get those, they would soon add something, maybe, depending on what's on the board. We'll assess them all, have conversations, see who's on the board when their picks come up. And we'll be doing the same. We'll also be looking the other way. If we did not draft Dalton last year, I think I told you, we had some options to go back, and one that I really liked that would have put us into the second round. That would have added, I thought was, you know, good asset, you know, to do that. So we'll do both ways. I think that's the best way. Prepare for every scenario. We'll go through next week with the scouts the various scenarios that could happen and just play the board. You know, Dalton was so close to us, and I really thought he was a good weapon for this offense. And it's one of those, right or wrong, I probably deserve criticism for trading up sometimes. I get that. But if there's a guy I like and I'm confident, I want to go to bed Thursday night that I got him. And if that happens again, I could do it. You know, I can't really tell you whether we go up, go back, or draft at 28. I have no idea how it's going to fall.
Brandon, you said that teams in the top 10 aren't likely going to call you, but that doesn't preclude you from calling them, correct?
Yeah, there's no rule. I can call all the way to 1, John. Think they'll take my call? I haven't called them. Yeah. Yeah.
You and other teams, is there a general way that's looked at if you were doing anything, either obtaining picks or trading picks in the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, too. I would say you're generally going to say it's, you know, you're looking at what team it is. So, but if you're not sure, if this team's a perennial playoff team, you're going to back it up a round. So if you wanted, like this year, let's say you wanted to trade, take our second round pick out of the way. Say we made our first, it's in the second round, and we wanted a pick. Somebody's going to make us trade next year's 1 to do that. It's going to be a round difference. And that's where you'd have to decide, you know, and if you're accepting someone's pick, if we're, you know, if we're in the third round this year, and someone offered, we don't have a third, but just pretend we had a third, and someone offered us next year's 2, part of what I may be thinking about is what kind of team, is this a perennial playoff team, is it not, all those things. But in general, you're going to move it around up.
We spoke with you at the owners' meetings, and we talked about disappointment of not getting the third round comp, but you did get the fourth round comp, you said you had to move some things, think differently. Since then,
Yeah, I mean, they're all assets. They really are. You know, no matter what year you have them, you're allowed to trade, you know, picks 20 in 24, 25, and 26. Can't go beyond that at this point. So any of those that we acquire are always assets. And, again, the main thing, you know, and our board's pretty well set. You know, there's still some conversations. We got to go through some mocks, which could tweak a guy here or there, but you know, you're just kind of reading the board, and if there's guys sticking out and you want to use an asset to go get it, you do it. But you know, I wouldn't say, hey, we're definitely gonna trade the number 2 pick that we acquired. I wouldn't expect that, but I'm not saying we wouldn't either. I mean, I'm never going to say no. I don't love trading future ones. You know, if you go back to when I got here, what we were trying to do, knowing that we were most likely going to be in the quarterback market if we found the right guy, was creating assets to not have to trade the next year's 1. And so if it makes sense, John, I'll do it. But I don't love it. I just know that there were times in Carolina in some of my younger years where we did trade it, and I felt more times we were disappointed later that we did it. Like that player we got didn't put us all the way at the top. And then you get to the next year's draft, and you're going, we would have been picking 17th. And you go, look who we just could have had. And so it's easy today to put it on the credit card and say, don't worry about next year's 1. But I, you know, hopefully I'm still sitting here. I know how tough that is to do that. But listen, we did it for Stephon Diggs when we traded for him and set through that. If there's something that makes too much sense, Heck yeah.
There's been a lot made about the depth and talent of this year's wide receiver class. How do you view that moving first round and on?
Yeah, I mean, there is depth. There's a lot of different style receivers from size, speed, quicks. Some have better hands. Some are not great rack. They got good hands, but you're probably not getting much. Some other ones maybe have less size, but if you can get the ball in their hands, they kind of turn into a little bit of a running back. So there's a lot of different, you know, one of the things that people don't always know the full details on, though, is what are their mentals? What are their smarts? What are their habits? And those playing big, and our coaches and our scouts have really worked hard, you know, the scouts for a while, but the coaches have really jumped in now trying to quiz these guys either at their pro days, at privates, Zooms. Obviously, you've seen some of the names we've had in here. We have tried to go through that, and some have really tested out well. This guy, he's going to pick it up, and there's some others that we have some concerns about. And then there's medical. You know, we just had the medical meeting, and so like every year, there's guys that pop up, and buyer beware that you know, doesn't mean you can't take them, but you may choose a player that someone else, you know, from a scouting stance, maybe a little less than this guy, but this guy's a lot healthier than this player. Not a huge difference, but all those factors can happen when you turn the card in and make that final decision that we're not going to walk down here and share. And you say, well, why didn't you choose this guy or this guy? I'm not going to, you know, just those are some of the things that you don't know. I know there's a lot of stuff out there. Highlights are posted of guys, man, this would be great to have this guy, but that's not the whole picture. He can, you know, if he's here, you know, like this week, yeah, I mean, he just got here this week, but I'm not sure if he met any of the guys or not, Sal, to be honest with you, but yeah, he could do that. Josh loves the draft. Like, he loves the process. I mean, I think a lot of people do. It's made, you know, all these, the mock simulators and all that stuff, and he loves that stuff, and so he loves to watch, you know. Now, some of the stuff he may be watching is highlights. Some of it's maybe cut-ups too. But, yeah, we, you know, he'll ask about, you like this guy or this guy? And he may go watch, you know, and throw his 2 cents in. He hasn't done the extensive work that we have, but I love that he loves it and likes to hear how we see things. I have talked to him since trading Steph. Yeah, he's talked to him this week. You know, we talked on the phone at some point after we traded Steph that week, and then hadn't really, you know, I think he went down to the Masters last week. Haven't really spoke to him much since then. But, yeah, he's been in the building. He swung by my office, saw him upstairs in the offensive staff room yesterday, and same old guy. He's doing well and excited about the team, and it's good to see him back. He's you know, he's excited about where we're at, and obviously knowing the draft's coming up, like to Sal's question, ask, you know, what are the guys you like? I see all these names. Who, you know, who do you guys like?
You said with wide receiver you haven't necessarily filled that number one wide receiver role. How much of a priority is that? Like, you look at some of the young offenses around the league, Houston, Green Bay, they don't really necessarily have a bona fide number one, kind of spread it around, have some young talent they found day two, day three. Is that something that you definitely need in 2024?
No. I mean, listen, you'd love to have two guys out there that are number ones. You know what I mean? Or, like, you're always going to try to find the best players you can. No, you need What you need are guys that, in this offense, that are smart, versatile, selfless, and can make the plays that their skill set allows them to make. And if it's a tall guy that's going to, you know, Josh is going to throw up a 50-50 ball, he's got to come down with it. If it's a guy that we want to get the ball in his hands, and when we need some rack, he's going to do that. I think that's what we're looking for. You know, if there's a one that pops up either in, you know, free agency or draft that makes sense for us, or a really good two, you know, we'll do it. But I don't think having a one or not having a one, Matt, doesn't mean we can't have success, you know, on offense or as a team.
Brandon, in that, along that line, was it more important in, as you reflect back to trading for Steph, was it more important for the offensive development to have a number one at that time as opposed to now where you know what Josh's capabilities are?
Yeah, I think Josh was I think he's still ascending, but I think there was – more ascension that we were hoping to continue to see from him. I mean, he was, you know, coming from rookie second year, you know, we go losing Houston, and, you know, that year we had added in 19, year two for Josh, we had added Cole and John Brown, who really, really helped our offense. And, but as the season went along and people saw how we were using them, I did feel like we needed someone else to offset what they were doing, because they were starting to try to figure out how to try to take them away. And I think that happened in that Houston game where we settled for field goals. You know, yes, we blew a lead, but I thought that game, if we could have got touchdowns in the first half, could have been over. And we let a team, you know, that was more experienced than we were hang around. And so that was the impetus. What else can we get? I, you know, called on receivers, including Steph, that year, but they weren't willing to trade him. And, you know, at that point, Steph was available and thought that's what the offense needed at the time. But I do think, to your point, I think I get where you're at, John, as you're saying, now that Josh has ascended to the player he is that a requirement? I don't think so. Yeah, they've been great. I mean, two guys full of energy, loving the process. I mean, not all coaches love this process. They just want to get their playbook installed. Players are kind of – these two guys, they're in my office asking questions, asking for more guys. How do we do this? And so, you know, as we close in on the process, I'm going to continue. And I'll give them some assignments. Hey, sit with your position coach or your staff and look at these two guys or these three guys. We got them kind of similar. How do you guys see them? And then tell me how you would use them. And make sure we have them in the right order to how you're seeing them. But we've had a lot of conversations. They've obviously been very involved. Joe went out on the road some too to see some guys, you know, from private standpoints, different positions. And he loved it, loves that process. So it's been fun, you know, the first off season working with both these guys in their new roles.
You said goodbye to a lot of veteran players. Do you think that there is – your team already is younger. Is there more opportunity if you make the right picks for a bunch of guys to make this team?
I do. I think there's – I think – you know, like anything, change is not always bad. Change can be hard when you've had the stability we've had at some of the positions. And a lot of those guys, you know, were captains. So is that uneasy? Yeah, it is. But sometimes your team has to evolve. It's probably the best word I can do it. And we do feel there are some guys currently on the roster that can ascend into some leadership roles. Is it going to be where, you know, the guys that left off? No, but hopefully we can grow them, and that's part of the development of our organization. And then, yeah, in this draft, you know, what pieces can we add to come in and either you know, start. It's hard to start for a rookie, but start or be a key backup, help us on teams, and be a guy that we're going to count on, you know, for sure in the future. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of great opportunities, and I'm excited about where we're at, and I'm excited about the draft next week. Yeah, it does, Jay. I mean, I think you never know how it's going to fall exactly. Like, who's – you wish you had that crystal ball to say, all right, do I want to give this fifth-round pick away? Well, tell me who's going to be there in the fifth. You never have that. So you do hope the board falls favorably for you to land some of the guys that we've been able to, you know, Shakir or whoever else that you know, fortunately fell to the fifth. So you do have to keep that in mind, and I do think – to your point, we have, you know, some of the guys. I know both the seventh rounders got claimed last year. We've had some guys that we've drafted and hoped if they didn't make it, we could get them to a practice squad that didn't. I do think those guys may have a better chance this year if we select them. Yeah, I mean, in fairness to Josh, like you remember what I said as far as he doesn't know the medical, he doesn't know how smart they are per se. Now, he could probably ask a coach, you know, it's more like the different skill sets, you know, how would this guy, if we took this guy, how would he fit in the offense? Where would you put him? Would you line him up at X? Could he play F and Z? Then what would you do if he went inside? Who would you move outside? Some of those conversations. I think Josh is not trying to be, you know, overstep and say something without having all the – he just doesn't have all the answers to do that. But love his input, love his excitement for sure. And I'd be stupid to not include him and let him kind of see what some of these guys – and like I said, he was watching film last year. I know he's already been watching film this year, some of these guys, since he's been in here this week.
On the subject of sub-package edge rushers, so you demand your defensive ends set the edge. Mm-hmm. You keep five guys at defensive ends, active, sometimes only four. A Bryce Huff-type day three guy. My impression is there isn't a lot of room on your board for a smaller edge rusher who you are never going to want on the field on first down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that depends on how many we would keep on the 53. So, yeah, you can't – you got to be careful how many DPRs that you put. But if the talent's there, Mark, we'd still take it and figure it out. You know, we've had at least 1 year, maybe two, where we've kept six ends. Now, that player better help us on fourth down. On special teams, like he better wear multiple hats. But it could also be a guy that maybe you don't count on him right away unless you have injury, but you've got him in, you know, in the bullpen ready to roll. If he can rush the passer, we know how important it's a passer league. I'm not sure I'm just going to pass him up and say, well, it's not a good fit this year because maybe.
So there's some guys on the board.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've done some work.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But entering this draft with your defensive line, edge and or defensive tackle, how much priority is there in this draft to add somebody that can contribute as early as next season?
Would love to. Would love to. I mean, I think there are guys in the draft that can do that. They can come in and maybe they're not day one starters where we're picking. If we took one in the first, we'd have to see what's there. Or if we took one later, I do think there's players, though, in more than just the first round that can come in either as a DT or a DN and help us in the rotation. And, you know, we rotate our guys a lot anyway, so I don't get too caught up in, you know, whether he's a starter or not. We run 8-9 deep on game day as it is.
Brandon, we haven't spoken with you since the Lionel Collins move, and, you know, that's somebody who's got a lot of experience in this league. What do you envision his role on this team being?
Yeah, a veteran player, obviously missed a year. He had a late ACL. I think he got his right before the playoffs in I think it was late, maybe early January of that year, the previous season, just where his rehab was, you know, he wasn't healthy. Remember, we worked him out, and he ended up signing with Dallas's practice squad. But he's a veteran. He's played tackle guard, and I would think he would come in and you know, provide some depth at right tackle at least, and then also – interior, you know, I think, you know, wherever we need depth, competition. So I would say right tackle and then, you know, guard.
How might the depth of next year's draft impact some decisions that you make this year?
You know, it's I'm not too worried about next year's the depth of the draft. It's so hard to tell. With NIL, you know, there's guys that we thought this year would come out, but the schools are really coming up with some pretty good money to keep these, you know, these kids, giving them $600-700 guaranteed, you know, for guys that like that, you know, that guarantee. I got this. I don't have to go compete for this. It's mine. So we are seeing a changing landscape from that standpoint. There's definitely the last couple of years guys that we had pegged that even some of the schools thought they would probably lose. So, you know, this was a light underclassman, you know, draft, and there's going to be more guys. But there are guys that have stayed in the COVID, that stayed and played 5 years, that are going to – there's going to be some guys with more age on them that are still going to get drafted probably later in the – not that there won't be some early, but there's definitely a lot of 23, 24, maybe even 25-year-olds that are getting drafted because of COVID plus – NIL. So not too crazy worried about next year's draft. It'll be fine. It's just really focused on the positions that we need to get answered between now and September, whether it's this draft or free agency afterwards, and then making sure we have depth in all the right spots. 30. Yeah, there's some guys that maybe we had conflicting reports about the learns or the personality that we wanted to get around or verify. So, I mean, there's not a lot of those, but there are some that you're, and maybe it's breaking a tie. I got a couple of guys here. I know maybe they're like this. I'm just making up a round in the second round. And I already know this guy can learn and they've got the same skill set, but this one I'm unsure of. I get this guy in here and I'm like, yeah, he's not quite the same learner. Maybe if the draft falls and they're both there, they're the highest on the board, I take this guy. If not, as long as I'm still comfortable that it's above the bar learning. Now, sometimes you bring a guy in here and you're just like, this guy is going to mentally struggle to play the position that we would need him to play, and we can't take him in the second round. We need to drop him some, but he's going to be more of a project.
I know you talked about Josh and his interest, but he doesn't know everything about these young players. But he does know Steph. When you said you talked to him before the trade, I was just curious, like, that's almost like a philosophical change. He's been their number one receiver. What was his reaction when he knew that this was the possibility? And because it is a major change to a guy he's known and had a lot of success with.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that between me and Josh. I get the question, but I think that's best for our conversation to keep that in. Josh understands that sometimes I'm calling him, take Steph out with decisions, you know, whether it's calling him the year we signed Mitch when he didn't really know Mitch and, you know, hey, probably won't be able to bring Matt Barkley back, like, you know, things like that. People he's formed a relationship with. Obviously, he has a relationship with Steph. Josh is really mature and understands that sometimes I'm calling him about things to say, how do you see it? Sometimes I'm calling him just to say, hey, this is where we're at. I don't want you to be blindsided, things like that. I'm not really going to weigh into where the conversation with Steph. I just think it needs to be kept between me and Josh, just out of respect. Sorry, Matt.
Thank you. How do you feel about your boundary corner room? And specifically, how would that change based on how you might feel where Kyer is right now?
Yeah, we feel good. We got good competition. Kyer's back. I haven't really talked to him, but saw him in the hallway yesterday or day before. And Christian Benford, you know, obviously Rasul's back and Jamarcus Ingram. So no, we've got some guys. If you just start with those four that know our system, know the expectations, and you know they'll be looking to compete. So no, I think we got guys that can line up and that we believe in. Yeah, I mean, I talked to Micah yesterday. It was good to see him. We FaceTimed for a little bit, living that California life that he is. But he's the best. Can't get enough of Micah Hyde. Just his energy. Like, you forget when you're away from someone, you know, but just he's got that infectious smile. He you know, some people see the world half glass empty. He sees it not half full. He sees it 100% full. And just, I wish I woke up every day with the perspective he's got. He's just such a good dude. Can see everything, mature beyond most players' years. And so we had a great conversation about life and things like that. You know, I don't think he has totally made a 100% decision either way. I didn't get into him, hey, are you 95% leaning one way or the other? Didn't push it. Just checking on him. He's checking on how things. I know he talked about his softball deal. He's going to be here. He's excited to come back, you know, next month after the draft and be around the guys. And he was pumped about that. But I can't tell you if he's going to play again or not. I don't have that concrete answer.
Another Iowa kid, Cooper DeGene, one of the more interesting prospects in this draft. A lot of conversation about whether he's a safety or a corner. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, how do you view him? How does that impact a player that you're evaluating when there is a little bit of work the
Yeah, really good player. You know, had a really fun career to watch his play. I think he came into Iowa originally as a safety, and then they moved him to corner. Just his talent can play it. You know, I think he's one of those guys that wherever he goes, they'll figure out the best spot for him. I could see some teams, Matt, saying maybe they got a bigger hole at safety, let's put him over there. Or, hey, this guy can, you know, we're going to pop him in a corner. He showed he could do it in college. We'll do it here. I mean, he also adds to your return game. He's a pretty good returner and good ball skills, things like that. So it was a joy to – we met him at the combine, but it was a joy to have him here. You can talk a little bit longer to him. Obviously, he was coming off the injury, so he just did his pro day last maybe Monday or so. So he's still coming from that. He didn't have a full time to train, but thought he did a good job in his pro day. Yeah.
How does that change how the workload of evaluating them plays?
Yeah, Thad, I think you're – yeah, sometimes you're talking about – in the old days, you got a scout who's in the southeast. He's been there for 5-10 years. He knew who this kid was all the way along. So you're kind of connecting dots. Guy transfers, I'm making up a school, from Florida to USC. You know, this scout's going to – give this guy a little heads up. This is the background that I've been tracking this kid. This is the background that this school saw him. May want to start with your questions at this school when it's time for him to come out like that. So you're kind of – and you're right. There's guys that are three schools. So they're bouncing around. It's really becoming to, you know, college football right now. Major college football is becoming into a bunch of one-year deals. These coaches are having to, you know – talk to enough coaches, and they're as worried, you know, they're hitting the portal, but they're trying to re-recruit their own guys back that you just assume probably as a fan this guy will be back, but that's not the case with NIL if someone else offers them. But yeah, it's up to our scouts to kind of connect the dots, and then, you know, as we get to know them, Thad, we'll ask them questions. Why'd you leave, you know, the example I gave you, Florida? What made you go to USC? Well, I wanted to play with this guy, or this coach was going to – he recruited me. He left, and this new coach didn't really see me the same way. There's all sorts of stories. Obviously, money talks, too. That's this day and age, that's usually the leading reason that I'm finding. But we do like to ask, and was it because you lost out of competition, you know, coaching changes? There's so many variables.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, he's going to keep rolling. We are very late to a break, though, so we're going to get in a couple of spots here, come back, and hopefully have more from the Bills GM. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, also scheduled to speak as well. So stay tuned. All that ahead here on WGR. Brandon Bean is wrapped up with the Buffalo media. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, also scheduled to speak. Allen's first comments since Diggs was traded. I think there is actually, I've been meaning to watch this on YouTube, Ryan Horvat Golf 9 days ago posted a 1 hour and 3 minute video of him and Josh Allen in a golf match against each other. So I don't know when that was recorded, though. Was that pre-Diggs trade? Was that after the Diggs trade? I haven't watched it yet. I tend to think that if Allen said anything about Diggs in that we would have heard about it. You know, 700,000 viewers. If he said something, I'm imagining someone would have made it. One of those would have made it to Twitter, and then we would have seen it secondhand. Sal Capaccio is down at One Bills Drive. All right, Sal, what a headliner from Brandon Bean's press conference. What do you think?
I don't know if there's a headliner, right? I mean, he kind of was basic, you know, kind of sticking to the script, kind of close to the vest on draft stuff. I do think, though, that, you know, when you read the quotes about trading top 10, no one in the top 10 is going to call us. Well, doesn't mean, can someone, what about you calling them? He's like, well, there's no rule. I can call them. I mean, that kind of, when you look at it, you hear how he says it, the body language. I think, you know, people want to read into it a certain way. Here's how I read into it. He's being honest, which is he's not going to get many calls from teams in the top 10 to move down to 28. Nobody's going to call him to do that, Joe. It would have to take him calling up and really making it worthwhile for someone to, you know, even continue that conversation. That's going to be tough to do. I'm not ruling out that he wouldn't want to do that, but he even said to the media, you think they'd take my call? Like, come on, guys. Like, that's a really big jump. Now, it doesn't mean he can't do it, but I do think, though, you know, he talked about, you know, a move more into the teens or the 20s, like something like that. Maybe teams would be, you know, more willing and more realistic. So I think we have to at least continue that conversation that that's possible. I also thought it was notable. I think a trade down could be even, you know, like in the cards in some sort of scenario based on how he spoke about not having 28 first round grades, more than last year, but not 28. And he said he thinks there's a bigger gap. I thought this was interesting. Bigger gap between the top of round two to the bottom of round two for their grades than there is maybe from the bottom of round one to the top of round one. So Joe, does that mean maybe trading down a little bit, getting more value and adding another, you know, pick along the way? That could be something he might want to do.
I think the fact that he even brought up the story of Dalton Kincaid last draft and that they could have moved back, and maybe even he's saying they would have if Kincaid wasn't there, and the first round grades comment, like, I'm definitely thinking after this press conference, like, oh yeah, he could move back. I don't know that I want to predict it, but I also, you know, I can imagine what you would say to me in a week if they traded down out of the first round. You would say, I don't think we should be that surprised, right? He just kind of gave light to this a week ago.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm like, hey, we're going to be here next Thursday night a week from now, and we're going to be sitting here. And last year, the 28th pick was made at 11:30 p.m. And if we're sitting here at 11:30 and the Bills are on the clock and suddenly like, hey, they just traded their first round pick, we could walk out of here at midnight and they had not made a pick throughout the day. And that might just be what happens, Joe. And then all of a sudden you get to day number two and now you have an extra pick because guess what? Let's go back to what he said at the owners meetings. Very disappointed they didn't get that third round pick. They were upset about that. I think he would like to get that third round pick back. That's more capital. I did ask him about next year's second. Does it make it, you know, a little bit more likely or easier, I guess, to make a deal now that you have that second next year? And he said it's all capital, of course, right? Now that it's all capital, you have it. But you're generally talking about, you know, if you want to move up, you're probably talking about giving up next year's first. Now, if you want to do something a little different later on, you have that second next year that you can play with a little bit.
Yeah. He basically confirmed, right, Sal, that they'll do something at wide receiver without giving away, like, exactly what they do and how much they'd spend. He defended his core, but, I mean, he said the words, you know, I'd still like to do something.
Well, here's what I think. I'm going to ask you. Do you believe, and again, when we say this, it's not that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go, Brandon Bean's a liar, but he's going to say things, not going to give away leverage. That's why they say things, not to give away leverage. Do you believe him when he says, we don't really need a number one wide receiver in this offense? Josh Allen doesn't need a number one wide receiver. It could still be a successful offense. Or do you think he really believes he needs a number one wide receiver?
I think he probably thinks they need a number one wide receiver. Or can I say wants a number one wide receiver? Like, there are other ways to win. They just saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl without, like, a true bona fide number one wide receiver. But he also just had Stephon Diggs for 4 years and knows exactly how valuable that
Agreed.
Is. So, yeah, I might just, if I could just change the language a little bit, I might say he wants one without saying he feels like he absolutely needs one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. He says that. I think he's just not giving away leverage. He doesn't want a team go, dude, you have no number one wide receiver on your team. And he's going to be like, I don't need one. I have Josh Allen. That's his counter, right? He just told the world that. I think that's what this is. That's him saying to the rest of the league, don't try and force me into something I don't want to do, because guess what? I have Josh Allen. I don't have to. But of course, because Joe, he said himself just a few years ago, I got to get this kid a number one wide receiver, basically. Now, granted, that was also at a time where Josh was in a different part of his career. I understand that. How many times have we talked about Brady and Rodgers and the way Mahomes, right? You just brought it up. These franchise quarterbacks don't have to have one. But he said to open this press conference, he was asked a question about wide receiver, number one. He said, we don't have someone who fills the number one role. That's what he said. I still think they feel they have to get one somehow.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who do you know who we'll hear from next, or not yet?
Sean McDermott in about 10 minutes,
okay.
15 minutes. We'll see how that goes, but that's the plan here. And then Josh Allen is scheduled sometime in the, well, it says 12:30, but a lot of times that's fluid based on the workouts they're doing and things like that. So we'll hear from them, and then, you know, we'll have all of that available for everybody to listen online, of course.
All right, we'll take a timeout here. We will come back. We'll wrap things up on the Extra Point Show. Of course, Sabres locker room cleanout day continues. That's going on right now. Dylan Cousins and Bo Byram have both spoken. Byram actually maybe is right now. Both have said they're going to play for Canada at the Worlds, and we'll get you more throughout the day. And of course, Sabres Live as well on what some of the Sabres players are having to say down at KeyBank Center. Stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along. We'll wrap things up after this timeout here on WGR. Wrapping things up here on a Thursday edition of the Extra Point Show. A lot of talking these days. Bean, Soon Allen, Soon McDermott, Cousins, Byram, Kevin Adams. No one will top Kevin Adams from this week, though. That's my opinion. Darlene, Tuck, Thompson, Greenway, Skinner. We've heard from them all. No one will top Adams. Adams was just, you know, we're 2 days from it now, but hit every single note that you wanted him to hit on the state of the team and what you got going forward. The playoffs are all determined in the NHL. There's one more night we have tonight to look at as well, but everything's already decided. Last night was a historic night for Nikita Kucherov. 100 assists. How crazy is it that in all of NHL history, 100 plus years of NHL history, there were only three players ever, Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr, to have 100 assists in a season? Three ever in 100 plus years. And this season, there were two. Kucherov got to 100. McDavid got to 100. Crazy. Last night was also historic because it's the last night in Arizona Coyotes history. And I was not anticipating being sad for Coyotes fans because I've been wanting the Coyotes to move for years. I hate that they're there, that it just had never made sense to me. But, man, some of the stories and seeing the fans crying there, the ones that actually do care, and hearing Luke Lipinski yesterday on this show about how fans have been told for years that they don't exist, like, I get it. Tough moment. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Stay tuned. Sabres Live on the way next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.